amen. What a tremendous blessing that special was tonight as well. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. Now, on Sunday nights, we've been going through and preaching and teaching on the teachings of Christ. And we started with the first message that we receive from Christ, and we have studied it in chronological order. And that is a study through the Gospels as far as the chronology of that. But we've been studying this, and we've covered the first 2 years of his public ministry. And the message tonight is the event that is the very beginning of the third year of his public ministry. The third year is known as the year of opposition because they wanted him dead. The religious leaders wanted him off the scene. He was bucking their lead. He was causing them some difficulties in carrying on the way that they wanted to worship God, the way that they wanted to live. And so they wanted Jesus gone. And so this, at the beginning of this third year, would be the year of opposition, and we find this rejection of Jesus first here in Nazareth, his own country. And so if you would stand with me tonight, we're going to be reading here Matthew chapter 13, verse 53 down to verse 58. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, "Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things?" And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And let's pray. Father, we bow before you tonight. And what a blessing it is to once again be assembled together and in this place to worship you. Thank you for what we've already received and just being in this service here tonight. But now as we've opened up the scriptures and we've read this passage of scripture, Lord, there's much that we can learn from this. You have preserved it for us to read and to study and apply truths from it. So I pray that you would just help us to do just that. Pray that you would empower the teaching and the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. So, rejected. I hate to see that. Over the 40-some years of ministry, I've seen a lot of people reject Christ, who at once you thought they had received him, but then only to find out that they truly rejected him. Never want to see it, but no doubt all of us have experienced it. So we find here in this passage of scripture, as Jesus came to his own country, he went to the synagogue to preach and to teach great truths. Jesus was and would have already been known to have done great and mighty things. What they've heard of Jesus before he ever gets back to his home country was, "This is the Messiah." Verse 54, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So we find that they could not understand this great wisdom coming out of his mouth. These great works that he had accomplished. No doubt he would have been, as he had been doing all along, explaining the Old Testament and the fact that he came to fulfill the Old Testament. And he was probably informing them as to why they had all the Old Testament laws and all the traditions and all the different ways of the Old Testament, the purpose for all of those things. And they would have said, wow, we've never heard any man speak like this before. This man is able to give us insight that we've never had anyone give us into the Old Testament and all the things concerning the Bible that we have at that time, which was the Old Testament. He explained all the Old Testament law and all the Old Testament prophets. That's what he was doing. He was revealing himself to be the fulfillment of the Old Testament. To be the Messiah that had been prophesied by the prophets of old. And he had done many mighty works. They were astonished because they had heard about the healings. They had heard about giving sight back to the blind. Those that had been born blind could now see. Those that had been born crippled could now walk. They had the information. They had all the testimonies about how he had touched so many people's lives and he had cast out demons. How that he had even brought the dead back to life again. They were astonished. That word means amazed, somewhat wowed. It's somewhat like when a person first hears of Jesus, especially if you weren't raised in church, to have seemed like you've always known of who Jesus was, because from the nursery and through every Sunday school class, you've heard the stories of the Bible. You've heard people exalt the name of Jesus. If you didn't get saved or you were not raised in church and you first heard that Jesus was a virgin-born Son of God, a virgin-born, how in the world is that possible? And with man, it's not possible. He was a Son of God that... God was a creator God. And Mary was a virgin, but yet she had God's only begotten Son in her womb. You'd heard everything that Jesus did, as they would have heard, how he healed the sick, cast out demons, raised the dead, and that he offers to us a gift of everlasting life, which makes the difference between an eternity in a devil's hell and eternity in heaven. When you first heard that, and were you not astonished? I guarantee, if you hadn't heard it before, and you come into an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, and you hear this, and you think, wow, I've never heard that before. I've really never heard anybody get up and open the Bible and preach the message from the Bible. I've been religious my whole life. I've been to church. I've done this and done that. But I've never heard anybody explain it in a way where I could understand it. And the way you teach the Bible and the way you preach the Bible, it is astonishing, because I now understand. I understand that I'm a lost sinner, and because the wages of sin is death, I'm guilty and I deserve a devil's hell. And that Jesus paid my sin debt, that's what it was all about. That's why he came to this earth. That's why he had to die. That's why there had to be the shed blood. And that's why the Old Testament focused on the blood. And it all comes together and you think, wow, that's amazing. What a powerful story. And your best chance of getting saved is when you've been astonished. And not only are you understanding it because it's being revealed not only by the teacher or the preacher, but it's being revealed to you by the Spirit of God. God's Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, and he says, what this Sunday school teacher is teaching is truth. What this preacher is preaching is truth. And this is how it needs to be applied to where you're at in your day and age and what you need to deal with, and this is how you need to accept it. And the Spirit of God convicts you of your own salvation. The best chance that you have to get saved is when you are wowed by the Word of God and you come under the conviction of the Holy Spirit for the first time and you accept that conviction and you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because if you don't, you're likely to reject Christ, as did these in his own country. If you didn't get saved when you first come under conviction, you're very fortunate that you had a second chance, maybe even a third chance. I don't know how many chances God might have given you. God is gracious. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But you don't have the promise of more than one opportunity to be saved. As far as I know, I was at 8 years old in my third grade Sunday school class, first time I ever come under conviction. I've been raised to believe in Christ. I've been raised in a Southern Baptist church, which basically gave the stories. But it was the first time I ever come under conviction. And it was in an independent fundamental Baptist church. I don't know if that's the only place. I don't think it is. But I know that you're more likely to come under conviction where the Word of God is being taught exactly as it has been given to us. If you don't get saved then, you allow Satan to try to steal the seed of the word and try to blind you to the truths that you have been taught. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, let me just read it to you, write it down if you want, but 2 Corinthians in chapter 4 and verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Blinded the minds of them which believe not. Rejected to a certain degree. And opened themselves up to being blinded. See, because as we go back into our text, the people allowed themselves to be confused. Now, how did they allow themselves to be confused? Look right here at verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? What does that have to do with it? Does that change the fact that he raised the dead? That change the fact that he just revealed to you scripture like no one else has ever revealed it to you? That change the fact that he has proven himself to be the Messiah and explaining to you everything that God had for us to understand in the prophecies of the Messiah? Is he not fulfilling the prophecies? Is he not fulfilling the scriptures? Is he not doing things that no other man has ever done and could ever do? So why are you questioning things that don't matter? Is this not the carpenter's son? Question mark. Is not his mother called Mary? I know she said she'd never been with a man, but you know, it's an impossibility. And for people to believe that she gave birth as a virgin, come on. How could you ever believe something like that? That is humanly impossible. And you're expected to believe something that is humanly impossible? You just left God out of the picture. And when you leave God out of the picture, you allow Satan to blind you to God. And his brethren, James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, he has brothers like everyone else, but have you ever seen any one of his brothers raise the dead? They're confusing themselves by things that they shouldn't allow to come into their minds. They need to focus on the truth. Focus on what has actually happened. Focus on what they actually heard him say. And were wowed by it. They were amazed by it. They were astonished. But now, they're allowing themselves to be confused. Where do you think these thoughts come from? Then we just read the Satan blinds the minds. He's going to put things in your mind to try to get you to focus on those things that will blind you to the truth and steal the seed for the scriptures out of your mind. His sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? Wow. They allowed themselves to be confused. Let me ask you, do you believe the Bible? If the Bible's true, you ought to stop right there. The Bible is true. Whether I believe it or not, the Bible's true, but I need to assure myself if it's in the Bible, I believe it. If it seems like it's contradictive, I am going to chalk it up to my ignorance of the Bible because the Bible does not contradict itself. I believe the Bible. I believe that I have researched, I have studied, I have looked at history, and time itself has proven to me the Bible to be the Word of God. But then there's a thought. Why is it not accepted by the majority of people? Why is evolution taught as a science in America? A Christian nation that's founded upon the Bible. If we have a creator God, then why are we allowing our children to be taught evolution as a proven science? You see what's happening? There's always going to be questions that the old devil's going to put in your heart and your mind that's going to try to lure you away from what you should know. and believe the Bible. It took a long time to take creation out of the public school system. It was there at one time. And then they started offering both sides of it because evolution is really a religion. It is a belief system. It is not proven. It can't be proven because it's not true. Now, things do evolve, but we did not evolve from apes. And apes did not evolve over billions of years by some kind of space dust. They came together and just happened to land on planet Earth where it was viable for them to be able to live here. Now listen to me, that is so ridiculous. So, the Bible is true, and God is the God of creation, then why is it not accepted by the majority of people, and why is evolution taught in as science in our public school system? Why is biblical Christianity scoffed at? And even today, taught to be a cult. So our nation was founded upon a cult? Is that what you're saying? How ridiculous. The Bible has withstood the test of time. We have it brought to us in the English language in 1611, and the United States of America established the Bible as our religion here. That's what was going to set as a foundation for these United States of America. And all of our laws and everything else around it was based on what the Bible said, and we put it in governments, and we put it in schools, and we taught the scriptures. Churches flourish all around the country. Why isn't it happening like that today? And if you're not careful, you're going to ask so many of these ridiculous questions and allow the world to answer them for you that you're going to confuse yourself. And we were warned against that. We were warned against exactly what's happening. 2 Peter chapter 3. Don't always do this, but I wanted to read this chapter. I was going to highlight it, but I want to read it. Why is biblical Christianity, not the Christianity of the world, that doesn't want to hold on to any of the Bible, anything that Christ taught? The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Because if you're not careful, your pure minds will be clouded. That ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. They want people to believe what they want them to believe. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that was, being overflowed with water, perished. Yeah, that's reality. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant. I love that. That word ignorant there, uninformed. Lack of biblical knowledge. If you're uninformed and you lack biblical knowledge, you're more apt to be deceived and confused. Be not ignorant of that, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Wow. Bible tells about that. You know, we think that everything just happened overnight. No. In God's timing, possibly to help us understand what you might look to as 1,000 years, God says it's only a day. Or what we might think was a day, Bible says 1,000 years. One thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come. It's only been 2 days. Amen. As a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner, now understand this is the truth, so what manner, how should you live, ought ye, a person ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. That's why he hasn't come back yet. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, and they do also the other scripture, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Now that's a powerful, powerful chapter in the Bible. We have to realize the old devil wants us confused. So we go back into our text. We have this recorded for us. They rejected Jesus because they allowed themselves to be confused. Many are rejecting Christianity and living the Christian lifestyle because they have allowed themselves to be confused by other religions, by the philosophies of the world. And then it says the second thing here, they were offended in him. Many times those who have been educated in man's philosophies will be offended that you would expect them to believe the Bible. You can't tell me you believe that God actually created everything. There is such a powerful force out there in the universe that it's able to create the heavens and the earth. You're looking at it in a wrong way. You're trying to compare yourself and your understanding to God. And his thoughts are so much greater. He gives us what we can understand. It's a different dimension. Heaven is a different dimension, but we think of some gigantic person as a God who molds and puts the earth. That's not what the Bible says. God is spirit, and they that worship him in spirit and in truth. Jesus come to reveal to us God in humanity. And he reveals to us that we will all have a glorified body in like fashion. And there's so much to go along with that. But we confuse ourselves by having wrong thinking. And sometimes we even allow ourselves to be offended. They're offended because God has a plan for morality. That's a hot button today. But can I tell you, it's all or nothing. You either believe this Bible or you don't believe it. We don't get to pick and choose what we think the Bible ought to say, what we think the Bible ought to teach. No, because it's God's word. It's not the Baptist word, although the Baptists hold to it better than anybody else that I know of. You can't just pick and choose what you want to believe and live by in the Bible and then discard everything that you don't want. That is you not believing in the God of the Bible. It's all or nothing. You either believe this to be the very words of God or you do not. Don't be confused. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to. You can reject Christ. And you can die and go to a devil's hell. That's truth. Whether you believe it or not, that's truth. They became offended that he would actually teach those things, present himself as being the Messiah. And then lastly, we find that they rejected him because they had no faith. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They allowed all their confusion and all those thoughts that the devil put in their mind to keep them from believing that he was the Messiah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You read it. You study it. You want to make sure beyond the shadow of doubt what it's teaching. And once you have proven it, once you know it's what the Bible teaches, you believe it. Just believe it. Put your faith in it. See, overall, what the Bible tells us here is they were not being influenced by the right things. Can I tell you what we need to take from this is we need to guard against the things that will bring confusion into our own hearts and minds. Need to guard against it. Things that will bring confusion is who and what we listen to. If you're listening to the news, you're listening to politics. You got to be careful because even religion is part of politics today. And the Bible says in Romans in chapter 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be a transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Don't get your doctrine from the media. Every year at our men's conference, I tell all the churches that come, I said, "We're getting ready for skits. When you leave here, do not take away your doctrine from the skits." The skits are not intended to give you Bible doctrine. The skits are intended to make you laugh. Make sure that you're getting your doctrine, which you're going to base your convictions on, from God. And they come from God as they come from the Bible, if you believe the Bible to be God's word. So who and what are we listening to? Who and what are we associating ourselves with? We got to be careful there. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them, the world and the things of the world, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Do not give in to sin, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate. What are we associating ourselves with? If you look, if you're confused, more than likely, you're associating yourselves with things of the world that are causing confusion with what you believe the Bible to say. Sometimes we allow our children to be influenced by religion and not the Bible. Can I go here, there, wherever? And it's religion. We allow them to go and they're influenced by that religion that has no standards, no dress standards, no conviction on modesty, false doctrine in that it's not the doctrine of the Bible that they're going to be influenced by. It's just a get-together. It is an activity. And we don't see the danger and how they will be influenced in that environment. Listen, parents, we had better wake up. Because children and even teenagers are having a hard time fitting in. They want to go somewhere where anything and everything's available for them to do. And they don't have to worry about standards, convictions, music. And yet they disguise it under, it's a church. It's religious. I've seen a lot of good kids go bad because of ungodly influences from outside religion. Yeah. Confusion over who and what we allowed to influence us. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5, prove all things. Know what it is that you're allowing to influence you and hold fast that which is good. Things that are not good, things that are not going to influence you for the cause of Christ, things that are going to bring wrong thoughts into your mind, stay away from. He goes on to say, abstain from all appearance of evil. Because if you're not careful, it'll do just what his home country did, and blinding them to who he truly was. Things that'll help. Things that'll help. The Bible. I love it. I mean, that's... You want some help with these things, and there's a lot of things that's going to confuse you and going to hinder you, but what are the things that can help us? The Bible reveals to us what can help us, especially teenagers, especially young people. The Bible says in Psalms 119, wherefore shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart have I sought thee. O, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You get away from the Bible, you're going to sin. You're going to sin because if you're not being influenced by the Bible, you're going to be influenced by the world. You're going to be influenced by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And it's the Bible that brings us back to right thinking. Make sure we got a good dose of the Bible. Which leads us to the second thing is make sure that we're in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church that Jesus established. And that we are commanded not to forsake the assembling of. So that we, on a weekly basis, worship together, praise together, and give thanks together. Amen. Things that'll help. Fellowship with other believers. Instead of looking for those to fellowship with that do not have the same convictions and the same beliefs. Now, if you're looking to win them to Christ, but usually that's not what happens. It's usually as we go out for that type of fellowship and they influence us more than we influence them. If you are ever being influenced more than you are the influence, get out of that situation. God's children are to be the light of the world, not the darkness in the world. That God's children be the salt of the earth and not the dirt of the world. God's children are to know better, and God's children are to be the influence. What can help? Busy hands. Serving. I taught the officers and teachers on Friday night in the banquet. Christianity is supposed to be a life of service for every Christian, but especially for anyone in a position of influence, leadership in God's church. A life of service. Close with this in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be as steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If you stay busy serving God, you'll not reject Him. You'll not reject Christ or His will for your life because you will have the right influences leading you to be that servant that Jesus wants us to be. First rejection in His own home country. They allowed themselves to be confused. They allowed themselves to be offended. They allowed themselves to lose faith. Let's learn from it. If I could have every head bowed tonight, every eye closed. Rejection. Are you finding yourself confused? Even in your Christian faith and Christian walk, maybe you're not having the right influences. Maybe you got too many wrong influences. We are not to reject. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the truth of your word and for this event. And as we see that Jesus went there and he preached to them, and they were astonished, but then they rejected it. Help us, Lord God, not to reject what you have for us and how you would have us to live. Bless now the invitation here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.